Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another episode of The Locker Room. I'm your host, Tommy Tellerino, and alongside me today is the point god himself, the Hall of Fame dimer, Jordan Navarro. Jordan, glad to see you. How you doing, man?
Doing excellent, man. Thank you for acknowledging my past 2K skills and my general attitude on the basketball court. It's the only skill I have is passing. And it's below average at best, but thank you for the hype.
You've got some interior defense too. Don't worry.
When I want to, you know.
Yeah, it's
I've
all right.
25 stamina, you know. It's
hey, it happens. But if anyone does want the work on NBA 2K23 Park, just let us know. We'll 21 skunk about almost everyone.
Oh, okay, all right. I don't approve this message. Approve this message.
I'm calling our shots this year, but how you doing after the Yankees have clinched and Aaron Judge tied the record? How you feeling after that?
Pretty fan freaking tastic, man. It was a special moment. It's a moment I'll never forget watching. I called it.
I
called it off of Tim Mesa. A thank you for pitching to him. Something we finally didn't get him walked. It was great. It's been a while since we won a division, so I was happy.
20th most all time. But we're going to talk about the Thursday night games. For those of you that didn't watch, before we get into the stats like normal, we got to talk about something that is a little bit bigger than football and just a score. Tua left the game last night with a head and neck injury and was carted off the field and sent to the hospital after suffering most likely a concussion last Sunday. Miami hasn't put it out that it was a concussion. They label it as a back injury. Jordan, I just want to hear your thoughts on this, how this got through for him to be able to play in this game after suffering injury where he could barely walk off the field last Sunday.
They said last Sunday against Buffalo was a back injury, like you said. When the injury happened, I think it was right before halftime.
Yeah.
You see him get up, shakes his head, you know, trying to like clear his vision. I've seen people get concussions, and that is one of, you know, the first reactions is you try to like clear your vision, you're shaking your head, trying to get the cobwebs out. And then he stumbles and falls, which, you know, that could be a back injury, but, you know, it's also kind of a symptom of a concussion. It's not being able to find your balance, and he did fall. He comes out after halftime, plays normal for the next two quarters. You know, Mike McDaniels, I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt. He's a good guy. And he said that he cleared concussion protocol, and he didn't have a concussion. It was a back injury. I am entitled to believe that that was true, okay? That he cleared concussion protocol. But I do believe that he got concussion-like symptoms, and it may have just been minor. But I'm not a doctor. You know, I can't, you know, who knows, right? What I do know is that Thursday was very scary. Last night was horrific. Seeing his hand seize up and his whole body seize up like it did was terrifying. And he's been released from the hospital. Prayers up to Tua. I hope he's doing well. He's got more tests to do, and hopefully, you know, everything's okay and he can come back and play football this season sooner rather than later. But it seems to be fishy that he cleared concussion protocol when it seemed like he had a concussion and this back injury and then this happens, you know, and it's already a Thursday game after a Sunday game. It's a short turnaround as is. And I can't blame Mike McDaniels if he cleared protocol, right? I don't think it's on the coaching staff, especially a new coach. You know, he didn't pick this medical staff. He didn't have control over that. I would assume not yet. So it's on the medical staff. And I won't know. I wasn't in the room. You weren't in the room. No fan was in the room when they were doing the test. They weren't in the blue tent, whatever. So we don't know. But it just seems kind of fishy. And I think the NFL needs to look long and hard at Thursday games and this short turnaround and how it's not good for anybody, especially people with concussion-like symptoms, but it's not good for players in general because it's too short of a turnaround for how violent the sport is.
Yeah, I want to talk a little bit about there should be a long investigation with this. This is unacceptable. This should never happen, in my opinion. The medical staff, I don't know how they let this happen. I mean, to be honest, the NFL Players Association wanted to start an investigation after the game Sunday. That investigation for that Sunday game didn't pick up until Thursday. They didn't start until Thursday. That, to me, is completely unacceptable. I just watched something on ESPN with Marcus Spears, Bart Scott. They say a lot of the players, what they'll do is purposely do poor on the cognitive test at the start of the season, the baseline ones.
Yeah.
That way, players can get in quicker for Thursday night games or for if they do have concussion symptoms. I just feel this should be looked at a lot more. Miami should be in a lot of trouble for this. This is the second time within a year there's a bad situation where Miami's involved.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not connected, but you look at the whole Brian Flores coaching situation where purposely wanting to lose so they can have better draft picks. Maybe they should be punished more, ownership in Miami. Because I think this is unacceptable.
Yeah. We can only assume, obviously. But I'm right there with you that maybe I won't go as far as say punishment is needed because we don't know until the investigation happens, right? But it is crazy to me that, I mean, every NFL fan that's watched games for a while knows what a concussion looks like, knows what a guy with a concussion looks like. You know, you watch any sport, you figure it out. And in the first half of that Sunday game, it looked like he got concussed.
Yeah.
Now, a back injury, you know, tweaking your back and having something happen there can definitely cause you to lose your balance and fall down. But him shaking his head and, you know, just being off balance, kind of walking sideways, looks like a concussion. And they can say he cleared protocols. Okay. Why? This is a setback for the NFL. For all we've done to try to protect players, this is a terrible look for the entire NFL, top to bottom. Every team, every player, every manager, everybody in the NFL associated with it. It's a terrible look. And there definitely needs to be a long investigation. It's unacceptable that it picked up Thursday. And just, I feel bad for Tua. You know, he wants to play. And sometimes you have to protect players from themselves. And I feel like if he did have a concussion and it was just minor, but, you know, second concussion in a short amount of time can be very severe. And if that happened on the medical staff's watch and it ruins his career, which I don't think it will. And again, I'm not trying to wish that into existence. I really do hope he's okay. And I think he will be okay. But, you know, if something severe happens like that and it messes with his career and his money, then I feel terrible for him.
Yeah, before we move on, one thing I just want to note, it was labeled a back injury, but in that game, I never saw him grab his back.
Yeah.
I saw him shake his head. I saw him almost fall to the ground walking off the field. I never saw him once grab his back.
Yeah.
So, prayers up to Tua. We hope he's doing well. We hope he's in good spirits. But last night, Cincinnati ended up winning this one. They won 27-15. It was really a back-and-forth game the whole way. It was one score most of the time. Joe Burrow, 20 for 31, 287 yards, 9.3 average yards a throw, two touchdowns, 52.2 QBR. I think Cincinnati's kind of getting the ball rolling a little bit. back to their ways from last year. The run game's still a little slow. You know, we saw Mixon, 24 carries, 61 yards, and one touchdown. That's only 2.5 yards in average. That's way less than I feel like it was last year for him. But go ahead.
I wanted to touch on the run game before we move off of it. This offensive line is very new. You know, it's pretty much a whole new five outside of Jonah Williams. It's going to take them time to mesh, but it's usually something like that in pass pro, right? You know, usually run blocking is what guys prefer to do. Offensive linemen, you want to get out and you want to, you know, block and get out and run. It's very worrisome that maybe this is just not a good run blocking group. And Zach Taylor, if he does, you know, I'm not going to say that Joe Burrow is Aaron Rodgers or that he's Peyton Manning or Tom Brady, right? But we are talking about a coach that before Joe Burrow was his quarterback, was on the hot seat, and was on the verge of being fired, right? He needs to evolve this offense, especially in the red zone. It was abysmal. The one touchdown he got was the offensive line. It wasn't Joe Mixon, right? It's not Joe Mixon's fault that the run game is bad. The offensive line did their job one time in the red zone, once. But Zach Taylor continues, and he was playing the scoreboard and playing the score and playing the time. So I understand, you know, late while he was running three times in the red zone, but early, there is no sense that T. Higgins, Jamar Chase, even Mixon just out of the backfield, should not get targets. Put the ball in Joe Burrow's hands. Because this offensive line right now is not capable of allowing you to run three times in the red zone. It's just, it's on the definition of insanity. And then on fourth and one, you do a sweep play. That hasn't worked. What is this, 1994? It's not going to work. Not with this offensive line. They were much better in pass pro, I will say. And I was happy that, you know, Joe Burrow doesn't need to keep getting hit. So good. But run blocking has been abysmal. And if it doesn't change, I need Zach Taylor to be an offensive genius, offensive coach, like, you know, he's labeled as, and figure it out.
Yeah. I mean, I'm glad you said how good they did in pass pro because they only gave up one sack last night.
Yeah.
I think six QB hits, but one sack, that's amazing for what it was.
A couple of those, you know, were on Joe Burrow. He does hold the ball a long time because he wants to make the play, and I was glad to see him get out of the pocket a little bit more than he has early in the season.
The receiving, though, in this game, just, I mean, we got two receivers. T. Higgins, 7 catches, 124 yards, 1 touchdown on 9 targets. But Tyreek Hill in this one, 10 catches, 160 yards, 14 targets. I mean, both teams were airing it out a little bit. I don't think I liked when Teddy Bridgewater came in. I think that was the longest pass I've ever seen Teddy Bridgewater throw.
He uncorked one. I was looking at my monitor, and I was like, did Teddy Bridgewater throw that? Like, you know, you see in the game, Tua underthrew him pretty bad.
Yeah.
And, you know, everyone's been hyping Tua up, and I'm not going to shit on him because what has happened. So I'll leave my criticisms until he's back on the field and healthy. But he underthrew him, and I was just like, man, Patrick Mahomes, that's a touchdown. And then I saw Teddy Bridgewater uncork it, and I was like, there's a conversation that needs to happen between Tua and Teddy Bridgewater. It's just a conversation. But, you know, Teddy might have a better arm.
It's the two gloves. That's what it is.
It has to be.
It has to be. Jamar Chase kind of had a slow game the first three quarters, but he ended with 4 catches, 81 yards. Still a good night for him. Tyler Boyd, 2 catches, 47 yards, and he had a throw for 23 yards. Hayden Hurst, 3 catches, 27 yards, 1 tutty. They're kind of evenly distributing the ball most of this game, which it's nice that Burrow's finding all of his targets, but with Xavier Howard was, I believe he left in the first half. I'm shocked that Jamar didn't pick it up a little bit more in the second.
They were doubling and using a lot of shell coverage against Jamar. And I think that is the conversation needs to be had, that Ja'Marr Chase is a very good wide receiver. And T. Higgins is phenomenal.
Yeah.
He's an amazing wide receiver in his own right. And I think it's a lot closer than people think. And I'm going to sound like a hypocrite because I was just hyping DJ Moore up yesterday, but that's a whole different conversation. T. Higgins is really good. And Ja'Marr Chase came in last year, and, you know, everyone wanted to hype him up because, you know, former teammates with Joe Burrow, whatever, and he had 13 touchdowns. Ja'Marr taking all of this double coverage and all, you know, they're game planning for him because they don't want to get beat by 30. You know, you let Ja'Marr one-on-one all game, he's going to catch multiple long touchdowns. It's just going to happen. You're leaving T. Higgins one-on-one, and you're talking about a guy who has tight end size and wide receiver speed and has amazing hands. That, I mean, it's just a matchup nightmare. And Tyler Boyd's no slouch in his own right. He gets open. He's a very good zone receiver. He knows where, you know, sit down in the zone. He knows the open spots. So, yeah, I mean, this whole receiver core is just ridiculous. But I think I realize that he's a little bit closer to Ja'Marr Chase than people give him credit for.
Yeah, last year he kind of took a back seat for a little bit compared to Ja'Marr. But in the second half of the season, he picked it up. I believe he out-targeted – or, yeah, he had more targets than Ja'Marr Chase in the second half of the season, which, like you said – team started game plan around Ja'Marr a little bit, throwing more double teams at him. But this wide receiver core is scary. And this could be a scary sight for years to come because Ja'Marr Chase, second year, T. Higgins, third year. I mean, yeah, Tyler Boyd's a little younger or a little older than them. But still, this if they keep that trio of Burrow, Higgins, and Chase all together, they could be dominating for years, I feel like.
Absolutely. You know, I talk about Higgins and Chase, but Joe Burrow, his – you look at some guys and they want the distinct, this guy is the one. So on third downs, I'm throwing it to this guy, you know, and Joe Burrow doesn't fall into that. He loves T. Higgins and Ja'Marr Chase just the same. He's willing to throw to either of them on the third down, on the money downs. And honestly – with Ja'Marr, I'm not going to say a drop problem. I don't think he has a drop problem. But, you know, he does drop the ball more than T. Higgins, and he might not have as good as hands as T. Higgins. He might be better off throwing it to T. Higgins on the money downs, but, you know, he spreads the love out, and, he, you know, he's willing to give Tyler Boyd the shots downfield just as he is Higgins and Chase. So Joe Burrow just being a great quarterback helps them tremendously.
I think this is putting them in the right direction to get back in – to that top of the AFC North. Baltimore's just been on fire on the offensive side lately. So between those two, we knew coming in the year that it's going to be a dogfight. But one thing I want to talk about Cincinnati and Miami before we wrap up. Cincinnati, we saw the line get the right things going to fix it. How do you evolve it more to where you're getting better in the pass pro and the run game as well?
Well, you know, I'm a fan of modern running styles. I love what Andy Reid does and tries to get his just get playmakers out in space. And this is, I'll touch on Tyreek Hill to answer your question. Look at what the Dolphins did with Tyreek Hill. Raheem Mostert had a pretty good game. He had a good long run. But they realized, you know, they're not getting a whole lot on the ground. I think they only averaged 3.9 yards carry. As a team, they're 22 of 85, and Raheem Mostert got all that. You know, he had a 25-yard run to get a majority of his yards. They got Tyreek Hill in space. Like it wasn't long throws. You know, he had a couple chunk plays.
Yeah.
Just get him in space. Let him run. You know, you got to run through the air. Kansas City is great at that. If you're not McVay or Shanahan and you're not using wide zone, which McDaniels does use, I think he just needs more time, obviously. It's a hard system to learn. If you're not going to use wide zone and a lot of motion, a lot of these teams do motion, and then they just run it up the gut. It doesn't work like that. You know what I mean? You look at Cincinnati, going back to them and their offensive line, get Mixon in space. When they did that in the first half, he was having a lot of success. And then they went back to run it up the gut, run it up the gut, run it inside the tackles. Yes, you need to do that. Every NFL team needs to be able to run between the tackles. It's a necessity. it is not as big of a necessity as it was 20 years ago. Get your guys in space. That's the best thing you can do. Get your playmakers the balls in their hands. Get them in space.
And I'm glad you brought up Mike McDaniels there. How would you say he's done as a head coach so far in the first three games?
I think he's done as well as you can expect him to do, especially with all the uncertainty. You know, they're trying to get Sean Payton. They're trying to get Tom Brady. He was maybe the third option, fourth option, and then Tua was, you know, third, fourth option. They're trying to get every quarterback under the sun to move from Tua. You pair these two together, and they've done pretty well. I like the way Miami's offense is. It's very hard to stop. Jalen Waddle and Tyreek Hill in motion, I mean, both of those guys, two fastest guys in the NFL. You get Raheem Mostert coming out of the backfield. You got Mike Gesicki, who they really don't even use that much anymore, but, I mean, he's athletic freak at tight end. Chase Edmonds is really good at passing or catching the ball. I mean, this offense is phenomenal. He's got a lot of weapons, and I think he's done as good as he can expect in 3 weeks.
I think he's going to be there a long time in Miami. I think his offensive game plan is something, like you said, more teams need to do. I mean, he's coming from the Shanahan tree just because, I mean, he's an offensive genius in his own. I guarantee he's probably taken most of the plays that they're running in San Fran, which as teams should now, because like you said, just get the playmakers the ball and look at the results.
Yeah,
you don't have to run it up the gut anymore. It's not 1975.
Exactly, and you still need to be able to, you know, run traditional run plays, and that works. And he can still do that. We saw Raheem Mostert; he did have success, but 3 yards, 4 yards a carry, unless you have a Detroit offensive line, right? Running between the tackles is not going to keep you on schedule all the time, especially if you have subpar quarterback play. They're going to sell out to stop their run.
I think that about does it for Thursday Night Football. Anything else you want to add before we move on?
No, I hope Tua's okay. I hope he comes back strong, and I hope we get this issue resolved.
That's right. On to week 4 pick'ems, baby. Last week, you want to start it out?
Yeah, I am the record keeper. Last week, okay. Tommy, we had some differences on opinion in the Houston-Chicago game. You took Chicago, I took Houston. Chicago won. Baltimore-New England. I tried to be the New England fan that you're not, apparently. And New England lost, so I will no longer be celebrating any New England success, and I hate Bill Belichick.
I ain't no homer.
Green Bay, Tampa Bay, you took Tom Brady, of course, and I took Aaron Rodgers. Maybe I'm a homer. And you know, he looked up at the Jumbotron, got inspiration. I don't know what he saw on there. And they won the game, and it was exactly as we expected. But all in all, Tommy, you had the better week. You went 8-7. I went 7-8. So we were, you know, neck and neck right there. It was a pretty bad week for both of us. So hopefully this week is better.
As long as I'm above 500, that's all that matters.
It's the comeback season now. I will never lose a week to you ever again. Ever? As long as this show lives on.
Ever? Hey, this isn't Madden. All right? I have a better chance of getting these picks and winning a game of Madden against you. First one, we're going to London. Minnesota versus New Orleans. There's no home team in this one. I mean, it's neutral, basically.
First off, RIP to the Queen. She would have loved to watch these two teams play, especially now that the Red Rifle's in, you know, striking resemblance to people in the royal family. But I'm sad for J-Bo. He's not going to be in this game, probably. But at 8:30 start for people in Central Time is just absolutely brutal. I'm a Justin Jefferson fantasy owner. I would love Justin Jefferson to have a good game. So I'm going to speak it into existence. Michael Thomas is also out in this game. Give me Minnesota.
Before going into this one, I was looking at a couple things. New Orleans, a ton of injuries. Like I said, Michael Thomas out. Jameis Winston's going to be out. Marcus May's out for New Orleans as well. Kamara's questionable. Landry's questionable. Kirk Cousins is Kirk Cousins so far this season. So, I mean, he hasn't been bad, but he sure hasn't been great so far. You want to say something?
My 5,000-yard prop is not looking too hot right now. That, Kevin O'Connell lied to me.
We got time. We got time, though. Dalvin Cook got injured last game. I don't think it matters as much just because I think they can get other playmakers involved. Justin Jefferson's been a little quiet, hoping he kind of picks things up. You know, starting off the season, he had 2 touchdowns in that first game, like 146 yards.
184.
It was 184?
Yep.
Yeah, that's what I thought. I couldn't remember. And then, but he's only 18 for 246 now, so he's slowed down the pace. But with that said, I'm still going Minnesota just because of all the injuries in New Orleans right now.
I think the Saints' game plan here, if you want to win, is force Kirk to win the turnover battle. Andy Dalton has to play extremely safe. Chris Olave is good. He's fine. Jarvis Landry hopefully plays. I'll have Tre'Quan Smith. I expect to see a lot of Taysom Hill in this game, to be honest with you. I think they'll do a lot of exotic sets with him, as much as I hate to say that. Feed Alvin Kamara. Feed him. Before the video comes out, and he gets suspended probably. Feed him while you got him. All right? You need to win this game. Give Alvin Kamara the ball. Play good defense. On Minnesota's side, get Justin Jefferson the ball. Get the hell out of the way and go win this ball game because I'm tired of Minnesota disappointing me.
And that's all you had to do. That's it. Just get Jay Jettis the ball and things will be in motion. But back to the United States. Cleveland versus Atlanta.
Ooh, man. This game is in Atlanta. Cleveland, Kevin Stefanski, the mid-tier quarterback whisperer himself, has made Jacoby Brissett look pretty good. I will take Cleveland because they are a better team. It would not surprise me if Atlanta makes this closer than people think it should be because their offense finds a way to score points somehow without using Kyle Pitts, and they are halfway decent against the run.
Fair enough. I'm glad you brought up the run. Nick Chubb this season, just a monster, 62 carries, 341 yards, 4 tutties. Jacoby Brissett, I mean, he's doing his thing. Amari Cooper's settling in. We didn't think he'd be a wide receiver one this year. He's putting up stats now. 18 catches, 219 yards, 2 touchdowns. I think Cleveland wins this one. I know Myles Garrett, hope he's doing okay after the car accident. I know he's questionable. I don't think it matters in this one.
This is just a rest game. Yeah. Don't force him to play. I don't think you need him.
I don't see Atlanta stopping Nick Chubb fully. And I think that's what they have to do if they want to win this game.
That's fair. Hopefully Kyle Pitts gets the ball. I would like to see Kyle Pitts more involved. He did actually get involved in Seattle. Yeah. Let's keep that train up, please.
I would also like to see him get involved. I mean, we talked about this on your show.
Yeah, it helps you win games, Arthur Smith, believe it or not. And they're saying Cordell Patterson is questionable with a knee injury. If Cordell Patterson's out, Arthur, who are you going to throw the ball to? Who's the offense going to run through, Arthur?
Let's put Kyle Pitts at running back.
Is that your number one playmaker? Yes, put Kyle Pitts at running back. Put him at quarterback. You know, put Marcus Mariota at tight end. He's about 6'4". He runs like a 4'5". They're interchangeable.
He's Taysom Hill, kind of.
A little bit more arm talent.
I mean, he was running a lot in Vegas. I mean, I think it's possible. Let's see.
This is a former Heisman winner, okay?
That's right. That is right. Next up, Washington versus Dallas.
The NFC least back at it with a mid-matchup. This game, I'm pretty sure Dallas owned Washington last year.
Yeah.
Washington has Carson Wentz, another redhead ginger, without a soul, member of the royal family. This is the game that should have been in London. Is it Prince Harry? I think it's Prince Harry.
Well, yeah, he looks just like him.
Yeah, I don't know my royal family members.
So I don't keep track.
Yeah, I'm American. I speak freedom.
You smell that? That's freedom.
Give me Dallas, just because I think this pass rush, we saw Carson Wentz get absolutely annihilated by Philly. I think the same thing's going to happen. Micah Parsons has looked amazing early in the season, and Trayvon Diggs finally got a pick, so I'm sure he wants to keep that going, and he did shut down Terry. They have more weapons than last year, so maybe they'll get something going, but give me Dallas because I think the pass rush is going to kill Carson Wentz.
Yeah, Carson Wentz, the first 2 weeks he looked great, and then it looks like last
Carson
week,
Wentz again.
Yeah, you know, he's got 861 yards, 7 tutties, 3 interceptions. Antonio Gibson's doing normal Antonio Gibson things. It's like he's barely on the field some games,
and he's just very efficient. You know, he just does what he has to do with his carries.
And then Scary Terry, I mean, most of the time he's just running around out there, and it's sad because there's so much athleticism, and he needs to get the ball a lot more.
They paid the man over $50 million, more than that, and he gets 4 targets.
Yeah,
and somehow catches 3 of them and gets like 100 yards. I mean, how does this guy not get the ball more? I understand Curtis Samuel, you want him to be Walmart Debo. That's fine. Do that. Logan Thomas, no targets. Absolutely none. Unless it's in the red zone. Jahan Dotson, he's a rookie. Haze him. I don't know. You know, he's getting the same amount of targets as Terry McLaurin. Where is the chain of command here? The hierarchy. I actually approve of hazing. Don't do that. But, you know, why is he getting the same amount of targets as Terry? He hasn't put the work in, the time in. Free Terry. No less than 8 targets a game. Please.
Free my boy. He ain't do nothing.
But, he ain't do nothing but get drafted by Washington.
And then sign the extension. But Cooper Rush, I want to talk about a little bit. 47 for 75 on the season. 514 yards. Has looked solid. Great game manager, 2 touchdowns. And believe it or not, the leading receiver in this Dallas core right now is Noah Brown.
I believe it.
But, I mean, coming into the year, I did not expect this going into week 4. Noah Brown, 15 catches, 213 yards, 1 touchdown. And you got Zeke and Pollard. They're solid. But like you said, this pass rush is just – the only reason why this defense has looked great so far, I believe, this season. And, you know, DeMarcus Lawrence had 3 sacks Monday night.
Yeah, I mean, the Giants just – Daniel Jones is out there running for his life. And a guy that I hyped up, Evan Neal, I mean, he was getting beat like a drum. He was a turnstile out there.
Whew. I mean, between him and Micah, when they're both on, it is scary.
It's a great pass rush. Just to touch on Cooper Rush's physical appearance, also another redhead. Do we have 3 redheads in the NFL, and we only have 1 left-handed quarterback?
I don't know.
The balance needs to happen in the universe. This is too many redheads. We got 2 starting in 1 game.
Just Thanos snap it?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, 2 of them are backups, obviously. Carson Wentz is a starter. There's too many redheads. The redhead quota was filled with Carson Wentz. You know, Andy Dalton was bad when Carson got in the league, and now Andy Dalton's a backup. One redhead. We got 3?
Just 1 out of all 32 teams?
Maybe. I don't know. There's too many redheads. It seems like a rare trait in society, right, to see a redhead. I don't know many.
It's an X factor.
How is there 3 of them?
I don't know.
I know like 2 in my entire life. Now there's 3 in the NFL as quarterbacks. They all look the same.
They're taking over.
This is unbelievable.
Anyway, moving
Cooper
on.
Rush is great, by the way. I love Cooper Rush.
Cooper Rush, Gold Rush. We're going Seattle versus Detroit. Detroit, Dan Campbell's.
Oh, man, the Dan Campbells. I'm sorry I picked against you last week. It was the right thing to do, Dan, so please forgive me. This week, I'm picking against you again, Dan. I apologize. Not having Amon-Ra, I think, is going to be huge in this game. And DeAndre Swift is out, which, I mean, I guess it doesn't really matter. We've talked about the offensive line so much. They're great. I just don't think the defense is there yet to keep Seattle out of this game. And I think this is going to be just a very, I'm not going to say ugly, it's going to be a very back and forth game. And Jared Goff obviously thinks he's that guy. I mean, at the end of the Minnesota game, you know, he decided to throw up a 65-yard prayer and get the ball picked off. So, not that he had much of a choice, but yeah, give me Seattle as much as it pains me to say it. I love you, Dan. I still love you, Dan Campbell. But I think Seattle's offense is solid enough to where they can win this game.
You know, for someone who loves them so much, first two times they ain't picking them. You know what? I got your back, Dan. I'm going with Dan Campbell this week. Detroit's going to get this done. It's Josh Reynolds season, baby.
It might be. All right. It probably is.
This Seattle secondary is a little banged up. I mean, the defense in general is a little banged up.
Doesn't matter if they're healthy.
That's true. I mean, Blitz Boy's gone. I mean, they spent, I don't even know how much. That might have been one of the worst extensions I've seen in recent years. But Jamal Williams, he's getting over 100 yards.
You know
two,
what?
Two tutties.
No, I'm you know, you're right, Tommy. I'm a non-believer. Give me Detroit. I'll change my pick.
Good.
Give me Detroit.
I can't believe you were going to turn your back on Dan for 2 weeks in a row.
I forgot about Aiden Hutchinson. That kid's a monster. He's going to have 2 sacks in this game.
He's a beast. I mean, Michigan, baby.
I can't bet against the offensive line. I just love hog mollies. You know, I'm just a Dave Gettleman enjoyer. You know, and the hog mollies are going to get this game done for Detroit. So
that's right.
Give me the Dan Campbells, the Jared Goffs, Josh Reynolds, Jamal Williams, the banged up receiver core. Get it done.
They're taking everyone's kneecaps. And speaking of kneecaps, these knee or one of these guys' knees is probably hurting in the next couple years. Derrick Henry versus Jonathan Taylor. That's basically what this game's going to be.
Yeah,
Tennessee versus Indianapolis.
This feature premiere, Jonathan Taylor versus Derrick Henry, passing of the torch ceremony, is also featuring two of the greatest game managers the world has ever seen in the last 3 years, Matt Ryan and Ryan Tannehill. The Titans got it back on track last week against Vegas. Derek Carr tried his damnedest to throw that game away. 18, 19, 23, 30,000 straight shots into the end zone by Derek Carr. For what reason, I don't know. The Titans wanted to lose that game, but Derek Carr just wasn't going to let them. Give me the Titans. Although I do think this is going to be more of a shootout than people think, actually. I think the Titans are starting to figure it out a little bit. And I can't give up on them being a good team just yet.
I was looking at these two teams, and they're both just so mid right now. And they're identical, almost.
Yeah. They really are. I think they are the exact same team.
They're the balance.
Yes, right. They are the line. They are the line right now of average. But I think
that's
Titans
why we have
stop.
Three redheads.
Maybe. One of them needs to be good.
Yeah.
Maybe. I think the Titans can stop Jonathan Taylor enough to make this a winnable game for them. Now, if Jonathan Taylor goes for 250, you've lost. Because Derrick Henry, still, they got him involved in the pass game last week, which was good. Running the ball. Still not there just yet.
I'm going Indy in this one. I think Jonathan Taylor can have a big game, but I also think Pittman is going to have a good game. You know, we saw week one he exploded, and then last week two he's out. Last week was a little slow, but
he picked it up at the end.
Yeah, he picked it up. But I think this could be a big game for Pittman, depending on how Tennessee game plans around them.
Well, yeah. I mean, their corners are booty. I mean, they're not very good. And their corners are going to have to play good. Now, Michael Pittman could win this game by himself. I'm going to be honest with how bad Tennessee's corners have played. But the engine to stop is Jonathan Taylor. And big Jeffrey Simmons is going to do that for me. Tighten up, baby. Give me the Tennessee Titans.
The first split. First split of the week. So we're moving on, though, sadly, to one of the most boring games, I think, known to mankind. Chicago versus the Giants.
Give me the Giants because the Bears' entire receiving core has less catches than Tyreek Hill through 3 weeks. They have 23 pass completions. Justin Fields looks god-awful. He looks worse than he did last year somehow. And I'm not entirely sure Matt Eberflus knows that you can actually pass the ball forward. There is a forward pass. Not sure if he knows that yet. The Giants, they looked okay against Dallas, minus Daniel Jones running for his life. Brian Daboll seems to have figured out how to make Daniel Jones stop fumbling the ball so much and stop making him make boneheaded decisions every play. So that should be good enough to win this game against Chicago, because Chicago is terrible, absolutely horrendous, the worst NFL team I've ever seen, a franchise that is so sorry. I feel bad for Chicago fans. You have to live in Chicago first and foremost. The weather sucks. It's windy all the damn time. All your sports teams are bad. It's coming from a Bulls fan. It's just nothing but pain and regret. And now you got to watch this sorry excuse for an NFL franchise every Sunday for 18 weeks. A little too much.
Nah, I just didn't know. I didn't know if you're done or not. I didn't know where this was going.
Give me the Giants because they have a better coach.
I really want to go Giants, but I also – I don't know. Like, after seeing Khalil Herbert just run over everyone in Houston, I think it's possible again. Give me Chicago.
Oh, my God.
I'm going to do it. It's going to be the upset of the century.
It's not the upset. They're both bad. I mean, I've already went in on the Giants enough.
By upset, I meant upset for the fans. Because have to watch this if they're in New York.
I've never seen a team start 2-1 and their fans be pissed. I've never seen it. I mean, Bears fans don't want to win. You don't. You just don't lie to yourself. You don't want to win. You know you can't win a Super Bowl. You want to lose to get a better pick. You know you want the new regime to get their guys in there, rebuild. It looks like they need to tear everything down because apparently Justin Fields is so bad they don't want him to pass the ball. I've never seen anything like this. I've seen some terrible quarterbacks. Washington lets Carson Wentz go out there and throw it 45 times. Justin Fields can't do that as a developing talent, as someone who has potential. It's horrendous. I'm trying not to curse, but I need stronger words than what I'm using, but I'm not going
to. It's blasphemous.
It is blasphemous. They are running the city of Chicago into the ground, and they somehow keep winning these games to make it worse. Chicago fans would be much happier with Justin Fields being bad if they were losing.
I'm just going to throw it to a more exciting game now. Jacksonville versus Philly. Dougie P is coming home.
Dougie P returning to Philly. They built a statue for him. I don't know if Philly fans, I feel like they'll be respectful.
Yeah, that's Philly.
Probably
yeah.
not.
Yeah.
Dougie P and Ronnie Bass, Sunshine, T-Law, the hottest thing since Andrew Luck. Versus Nick Sirianni, Jalen Hurts, A.J. Brown, and the traveling circus that is that defense, which is, I mean, it's just hilarious how the league has allowed them to rebuild this defense so quickly. It's a championship caliber defense, in my opinion, already. I've been hyping up Jacksonville a lot, and I didn't think they'd beat the Chargers even with Chase Daniels, but I think Philly might be like top three team in the league if Jalen Hurts is going to play like this with the way that defense is played. And I don't think Jacksonville has the weapons yet to beat them. Give me Philly.
I think this is going to be a really close game, a really good game. You brought up Jalen Hurts. So far, if Lamar wasn't on a rampage, Jalen Hurts might be one of the front runners for MVP. 66 for 98, 916 yards, 4 touchdowns, interception. And Miles Sanders learned how to run the ball again, too, so I don't know where he picked that up. He's been missing for 3 years. A.J. Brown just doing his thing. But then Devonta Smith comes out and drops a 160-yard game in the first half.
On Washington.
On Washington. Like you said, I think this Jacksonville team has a lot of future ahead of them. But I just – Philly, like you said, this is a championship team caliber defense. And the offense, if Jalen Hurts is playing like this, they might be unstoppable. Yes.
Yeah.
It's going
to
be
– not turning the ball over. I mean, it's yeah. – It's hard to beat them. That run game, you have to respect his ability to run, so the run game is going to be good. And with the way the defense plays, that's all you need is a good run game, good defense to get to the playoffs. And if he's making plays like he is, I mean, we saw he came out, they're up 24-0. He came out in the third quarter, first play of the drive. He decided, I'm going to chuck a 50-yard pass to Devontae Smith, because why not? Because I can. I mean, Nick Sirianni's giving him freedom to act a damn fool on the football field.
I was just shocked when I saw that. I was like, what? You are up 24, sir. You don't need to do this. Yes.
I mean, they were showing their ass in Washington. Disrespectful.
But I don't think teams are going to be able to adapt to Hurts just yet. Give it a couple more weeks. I want to see how he adjusts. But right now, I got Philly beating Jacksonville.
I just don't think Jacksonville has the weapons, but I do. Yeah. I'm right there with you. I think they have a lot of potential. Doug Peterson is showing he is still a quarterback whisperer, and Trevor Lawrence is the major benefactor. I mean, this guy, wow. Going from Urban Meyer to Doug Peterson. I mean, just congratulations, Trevor. Your career got saved.
So inspirational. Dougie, baby. The New York Jets versus the Pittsburgh Steelers. Jets, they're both the same in my opinion.
This game's in Pittsburgh, so the terrible towels will be out. Mitchell Trubisky somehow continues to be so mediocre, it's mind-blowing. I mean, every time he does something good, he comes back and just makes something terrible. He's Daniel Jones, just a little bit better arm, and a little bit less athleticism. Is TJ Watt playing? Do we know?
No. Oh, God, no.
Yeah, oh, wait, yeah, he had surgery. Yeah. Sorry. Yeah. So TJ Watt's not in this game. Zach Wilson is, he's playing in this game. It's his first game back. He's got like 155 straight pass attempts and 5 games straight of no interceptions. That's how he ended the season last year. He's going to have an interception this week. I think he's going to have to knock the rust off a little bit. Give me Pittsburgh.
Give me Pittsburgh as well. Najee Harris needs to pick it up. I'm glad you brought up Wilson because Flacco was airing that thing out just because they kind of had to if they wanted to stay in the games.
Yep.
Zach Wilson, I'm saying multiple interceptions.
Nah, I'll give him one. I think he's improved.
I don't know, Max. I don't know.
I mean, he was, you know, his off season was exciting.
It was.
He got inspired.
He's a family man. moving on. We have a battle of two of the best teams in the AFC right now, Buffalo versus Baltimore.
This was almost my pick for hype up game of the week, Tommy. I was this close, but I'm saving it. I'm not going to go on my rant. I'm going to break this down from a fundamental standpoint. Okay. Buffalo's defense hurt, very hurt, banged up. Baltimore's defense, old, banged up, hurt. The two quarterbacks in this game, electric. Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, amazing. The wide receivers in this game, Baltimore. We're not going to talk about it, but they have Mark Andrews and Stephon Diggs and Gabriel Davis. The running backs in this game, non-existent. Devin Singletary and the ghost of J.K. Dobbins, because I'm not even sure if Baltimore fans know he exists yet, because they won't let him. Set him free, damn it. Set him free. Doesn't matter. Both these defenses, not up to potential just yet. Shootout. Shootout alert. Give me Buffalo, because I do think their defense is just a little bit better.
Just a little bit.
Yeah, their pass rush is good. And, you know, it's Lamar. And, you know, he might. But he's been destroying the blitz this year, so I don't know. That might not even be an advantage.
You never know. But one thing I wanted to bring up in this game is both quarterbacks lead their team in passing yards and rushing yards.
Absolutely.
You got to love it. I mean,
who needs running backs anymore?
Exactly.
The position should be faded away. It should be like fullbacks. I just want to see quarterbacks run around and wide receivers catch the ball.
Well, I was just going to say, just bring back the fullback position and just have them in as blockers. That's all you need.
Just give us an extra offensive lineman.
Exactly.
I want two of them, actually. I want left center, right center. And then you have the real center, and you can snap the ball at any three positions.
Defenses will never know.
Genius. Hire me. NFL, hire me. Hit my line.
NFL? <I'll>
save.
I got you, guy. But I'm with you in this one. I'm going Buffalo just because I don't see them losing back-to-back.
Yeah, no.
If they do, that offensive coordinator is just going to break the whole booth. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, Dorsey, you know, he almost went Hulk mode. He was almost, yeah. He was hulking up. You know, he like Tom Brady, likes to throw tablets like a child.
Yes.
I think that's fine. You know, temper tantrums are needed sometimes.
But I do think last week, though, it shows that this Buffalo team is beatable.
Yeah, which, if you can handle their pass rush, you know, especially with how beat up their secondary is, you know, their defense is beatable still. Yeah. And obviously, you got to be able to contain Josh Allen, which is hard. But Baltimore secondary is just not healthy at all right now.
It's me and you.
Yeah.
Moving on, Chargers versus Houston.
This is the game the Chargers should win handily. However, their run defense still stinks. And Houston, the one good thing they've done this year is run the ball. This game might be closer than a lot of people think. I'm still going to take the Chargers because they just got embarrassed by Jacksonville in a game that everyone and their mama thought they would win. You got to come back. I mean, embarrassed. Embarrassed. You got to win. Give me the Chargers.
I think he summed it up best. They got embarrassed. I don't think they lose three in a row either. And it's Lovie Smith in Houston. I mean, I love Lovie Smith, but he's not a good coach. Give me the Chargers. And moving on, Arizona versus Carolina.
Christian McCaffrey is questionable to play. Hopefully he does play. Not that it's going to matter. Baker Mayfield is still the quarterback for Carolina. This is a mediocre matchup because Cliff Kingsbury doesn't know how a clock works and Matt Rhule doesn't know how an offense works. So put those two things together and we're going to get a game that on paper should be like 35-28. It's going to end up being 7-3. Give me Arizona.
I just don't get last week. Arizona needed a fast score. So what did they do? They ran about 6 minutes off the clock.
Yep.
Maybe even more. Very bold strategy, Cliff. Very bold. I mean, maybe he was thinking the Rams can't score again if I don't let them back on the field. I don't know what his point was in that game, but Kyler Murray, 90 for 141 right now, 784 yards, 3 touchdowns. I mean, that's a lot of money they paid him. I don't know, man. Double XP weekend is coming up in a couple weeks. He's going to be gone. James Conner he went back to James Conner. He runs sideways.
Exactly.
Now, he runs sideways and doesn't run straight. I've seen it. I've had him on multiple years in fantasy, and he does the same thing. He runs sideways, doesn't break tackles either. I don't stand for it anymore.
So are you taking Carolina?
No, I'm still going to take Arizona in this one. I've seen Carolina play, and it's not pretty. It really isn't. And I've seen Hollywood Brown just get force-fed, and I like Hollywood. I think he's a good receiver. Moving on, we can keep this one pretty short. I think this is a no-brainer. It's Green Bay versus New England.
Mac Jones might play.
Don't play him.
Don't count him out. Don't count him out. That's what he said. He might surprise the world and play. It doesn't matter. Green Bay is going to win this handily. The defense, Mac Jones, Brian Hoyer, Bill Belichick, the ghost of Tom Brady. It doesn't matter. Green Bay is going to win.
If Mac Jones was in this game and healthy, I could make a case for New England. But it's Brian Hoyer in here. I don't want to watch Brian Hoyer ever on the football field. He was the best quarterback for the Browns in like 20 years at one point. I don't know how. The man is awful. Awful, Jordan. I don't stand for it.
He's a veteran quarterback, man.
I don't care. I don't care at all.
You said keep it short. You're taking Green Bay. Move on.
Of course I'm taking Green Bay. Denver versus Vegas.
Mid. Split on this one. You can go ahead. Go first.
You want me to go first?
Yeah.
Russ last Sunday night was cooking up that NyQuil chicken, putting me to sleep. 63-106, 743 yards, 2 touchdowns. But the only bright spot in this offense is Cortland Sutton is playing phenomenal, in my opinion. The coaching decisions are just awful for Denver so far. I don't know what's going on.
Nathaniel Hackett had to get a head coach for his head coaching spot. He had to get somebody to manage the game for him. What is the point of you being a head coach? Isn't that what you're supposed to do? That's your job description. It's like the number one thing.
He Quizlet it, man. That's all he did. So like you said, it's just a lot of blunders for no reason. And then you got Vegas, who Josh McDaniels shows that he is not head coach material. Should have just stayed as offensive coordinator in New England, had a perfect gig. But it is what it is. Devontae Adams wishes.
Kind of salty.
I'm not salty. I'm just speaking facts.
Is he on Adam Gase level? Did Tom Brady make his career?
Maybe. Perhaps.
I agree. So
we'll see. Devontae Adams is calling Aaron Rodgers back. He's like, hey, man, I'm sorry. Get me back to Green Bay. Derek Carr looks like Derek Carr. I mean, 850 yards, 6 touchdowns, 4 interceptions. For some reason, Mac Hollins is the leading receiver in this whole core.
No answer. No.
With all that said, though, give me Vegas winning.
I knew you were going to take Vegas. Everyone is out on Russell Wilson.
It's not that I'm out on Russell Wilson.
As much as I hate Russ, as a 49ers fan, as much as I hate him, there's no way in the world, in the universe, he continues to be as bad as he has looked. And Nathaniel Hackett, you are facing a guy who you might be one of the only head coaches you're better than. At calling plays, at least. I mean, game management, Josh McDaniels got you beat by a mile. But everyone does, so it's okay. Other than Cliff Kingsbury. Give me Denver by a touchdown. The run defense on Vegas, soft. The secondary on Vegas, soft. There should be, it doesn't matter what the game plan is, you should win this game. If you lose it, Nathaniel Hackett should be on the hot seat. You can't come into a situation like this with a good quarterback, good receivers, good running backs, continue to use Mike Boone 26% of the time when you have Melvin Gordon and Javonte Williams. Who gives a – Mike Boone should not be on the field, Nathaniel. You have all the weapons you need. You don't need a third running back. You can't continue to make these blunders and then say, well, it's first year. No, get them on the hot seat. This is a must-win game for Denver. Must win. Because the San Francisco game, Jimmy Garoppolo is just terrible. They gave you that game. We should have beat you by 30. Denver, must win. Show me that you're actually a good football team.
Are you saying it's scary hours soon for Denver?
Yes, absolutely.
Is it going to be scarier than the Russell Wilson Subway commercial?
Probably. And, you know, this is saying Denver's 2-1, right?
Yeah.
This is a must win for me. Maybe not for Denver. For me. To show me that you're good. That you're a good offense. This is your best matchup. You're playing a sorry defense. The worst defense you've played. You played Seattle. I think Vegas might be worse.
You make me want to change my pick, but
no.
I'm sticking Vegas.
Yep.
Sunday night, Kansas City versus Tampa Bay. I don't know where this Mike one's Evans being played. Back.
Yeah, we do. Yeah. Hopefully, it can be played in Tampa Bay, but you know, with the hurricane and everything going on, it may not. I'm not going to change my pick, even if it's neutral field. Give me Kansas City. There's no run game to shut down for Kansas City anyway. You know, it's not like this offense is driven by a run game. So Tampa Bay's big advantage doesn't matter because Kansas City can't run the ball as is. So give me Kansas City and their pass catches and Patrick Mahomes actually looking like Patrick Mahomes again. Even if, you know, Tom Brady gets Mike Evans back or whatever, I think Kansas City defense can keep it close. And I'll take Kansas City's offense.
Yeah, Kansas City's looked really good so far on both sides of the ball this year, I feel like. I know they lost last week, but they were winning most of the game, in my opinion. Like, that was their game to win. Patrick Mahomes on the year, 857 yards, 8 touchdowns, 1 interception. Travis Kelce, 17 catches, 230 yards, 2 touchdowns. Tom Brady, off to a slow start. I know that his wide receivers are out, but he's not throwing the ball like he used to.
I think this will be the game that gets him going, to be honest with you.
You think so? My thing is, Mike Evans is playing, and that's about it.
Well, Julio may play.
They're all questionable, that wide receiver core, I will say. There's like four or five.
It's Julio. When he gets on your team, everyone becomes questionable.
Yeah.
They don't call him Julio for no reason.
With that said, I'm going Kansas City just because I think this could turn into a shootout. And if there is a banged-up wide receiver core, I don't think Tampa Bay can win a shootout. That just leaves Monday Night Football, Rams, and the 49ers. I'll have you take it away, sir.
I said I was close to making Buffalo and Baltimore the game of the week, my hype-up game. Tommy, this is my hype-up game only because of what it means. They beat us in the championship game. They did. They beat us. Where Jaquiski Tartt dropped the interception away from going to the Super Bowl again. They beat us. Aaron Donald went beast mode, and Jimmy Garoppolo was a statue, and that's just not a good combo. But in the regular season, they haven't beat us in 3 seasons. That's with Jimmy Garoppolo at quarterback. Same old sorry-ass Rams. Give me the San Francisco 49ers or give me death. San Francisco, the game plan is simple, even without Trent Williams. Get the running game started. Hit George Kittle. Jalen Ramsey can't stop Debo. He hasn't been able to stop him in 3 seasons. He can't stop him. No one can stop him. He owns the Rams. Debo said he ain't ever lost to them. Ask Aaron Donald who Debo Samuel is. He's going to find out again until the playoffs. If we meet him there, it's a completely different story. But in the regular season, give me the 49ers. This is my game of the week. You know, we have a great pressure. We're getting the second most pressures in the NFL with our defensive line. The Rams are almost dead last and pressure's given up. Matt Stafford's been running for his life. Their offensive line doesn't look good without Whitworth. That's not a good combination. Nick Bosa's going to live in that backfield. Give me the 49ers.
Same sorry Rams. I mean, Monday night game last year was in San Fran, wasn't it?
That was the game that turned our season around.
I have a feeling it's going to end a lot like that again this year. Debo's going to get things going. You're going to see a way better game from the offense, I believe. I just think, you know, it's just one of those games where it's just stagnant. I think they're going to get the ball moving. Hopefully Debo's in the backfield a lot more. Ayuk, he's settling in. He's had solid back-to-back games. I think San Fran's going to take this one by a lot.
By a lot?
By a lot, I mean probably like 10 points.
Nice. Well, Tommy, that's all the picks. Do you want to change any before I solidify them in this spreadsheet? We split on the Denver game and the Bears game. That is it. Is there any more you'd like to change? We both have the Titans. Would you like to take the Colts?
No. I'm going to keep my Vegas one. I was going to change it, but we only have two splits, so I guess I'll keep that one.
No, I'm thinking. I can't take the Colts. That was the only game I was thinking about changing. I can't take the Colts because my dear friend Tanner is a Titans fan, and I feel like I'd betray him if I didn't take the Titans.
You almost betrayed Dan Campbell. I can't believe you did that today.
I still might. I might change it.
Blasphemous. Blasphemous.
I love Dan Campbell. It's just...
I don't want to hear that rhetoric come out of your mouth again.
Something about the matchup, man. Something about the matchup. Not sitting well with me.
We'll wait and see. I know you said you weren't looking forward to a lot of these games, but, I mean, you just got to love watching some good old football.
Oh, absolutely. I love watching good football. That's why I choose not to watch Denver a lot.
Unless you have to.
Yeah, unless I have to.
With that said, that is all from us today, folks. Thank you guys for tuning in. We hope you have a great one.
Peace.